Bitcoin is basically the email form of money. It's money built for the internet, and you can send it to anywhere around the world as long as someone has a data connection, 24/7, 7 days a week. It never sleeps.
Day by day, who knows? Coinbase is the largest exchange for Bitcoin. They're adding 100,000 new customers a day. What do each one of those 100,000 people do? They buy a Bitcoin. So that's driving the demand up on a daily basis. Overall, in the long term, we see there's $200 billion worth of cryptocurrencies out there, but there's $200 trillion of demand for money out there. So if Bitcoin is truly solving the problems of paper and fiat currency, which I believe, you're going to see that $200 billion start to move up to $200 trillion. So this price action, who knows day by day, but long term, this price action is certainly not unreasonable, and it's going to continue to go higher.
From where we were in December when we hit almost 20,000. But, you know, a few weeks ago we were all the way down back at 5,000. So things are still on the upswing. If you read JP Morgan's so-called Bitcoin Bible last week, they predicted this, you know. They said that this looked like the beginning of a rally. And yes, it's tentative, but as soon as we got above 10,700, it could go as high as 14,000 or up or above. So if we want to believe JP Morgan, they're saying it's going higher.
What does it say that an organization, a firm like JP Morgan, is releasing a Bitcoin Bible, is getting more involved in the conversation when previously they were singing to a much different tune?
Yes.
Because of the position held by Jamie Dimon.
Yes, Jamie Dimon calling it a fraud.
Right, yeah, and he backed away a little bit, but he didn't quite say that he didn't still believe that it is a fraud. And so I think what we're seeing now is that they can't afford not to take this seriously. Their investors are interested in it, their clients are interested in it. So now they're putting out, you know, these, it was like a 71-page document. That's why they called it the Bitcoin Bible, looking at basically every aspect. How are banks going to use this? Could it replace, the dollar? What would the Fed do?
The world is changing pretty fast these days. No longer does it take a generation to see change, but a few months and something new is upon us. Planned obsolescence is now not a backroom discussion, but is very much actively spoken about to consumers that haven't updated their technology as per the manufacturer's recommended time frame. With technology comes change, and change can be a little scary for some. But how does this all relate to the world of cryptocurrency, which is less about the criminal underworld and more about the shift in global financial markets for the better? I like to compare the current state of cryptocurrencies to where the internet was back in 1996. Retailers said that they didn't need it, consumers weren't really using it, it was a pretty cowboy land, and the government didn't know what to do with it, apart from say that if you were in it, you were a criminal or in porn. Now we look at the internet 20 years later. Retail that didn't jump on it is dying. Consumers are demanding the internet as an essential service. The internet is quasi-regulated by community and open protocols, and the government has really only regulated it softly with metadata laws and a little bit of around-the-edges regulation. So where will we be in 20 years when currency and forms of payment are totally decentralized? And hey, I'm not saying that there won't be some forms of regulation along the way. I'm just saying it's not what it's going to be, what it's like today. I tend to look at things a little differently to most. I'll hopefully present a view that may challenge yours, and I hope that in by challenging your current view, that you too may start to think differently about the space, even when others are saying you are wrong. I'm your host, Keegan Sard, and welcome to the Disruption Podcast. The format of the Disruption Podcast will go through a series of questions that I constantly get asked, and hopefully I can give you the answers you've been looking for. Each episode will follow the theme of what, when, where, and how, then finishing up on a point of view of a bigger picture that you may not have thought before. So if you are new to the world of cryptocurrency and you're wondering what is it about and why is there so much hype about it, I want to start by talking about the underlying tech behind it. It's called the blockchain. This tech was founded by someone, and I say someone because we actually don't know who. In fact, we know that it could be a he, a she, or a them, but they only go by a name or a pseudonym called Satoshi Nakamoto. But what was created was actually pretty cool. Decentralized information so you can allow digital data to flow freely online, but not be able to copy it or manipulate it. I like to think of it as a read-only document, but available all over the world in real time. The best example of how this is a game changer is a central bank. We've just launched real-time payments in Australia, and a few banks now let you transfer money instantly, and I know another number of banks overseas have got this, but we've only got it relatively new, like last month. And previously, you'd have to wait to receive your money because the ledger of the transaction was held by a central bank, and they have really old data and like really crappy technology, and they used to hold the transfer up to make sure it was happening, to make sure it was accurate, and only then when they were satisfied, they'd release it. But they used to all take between 1 and 3 days to clear. And I don't know about you, but it's not fun waiting for your friend to pay you back for dinner last week and having to wait 1 to 3 business days to get it back. Now we can have the ability of virtually real-time transactions, which, as I said earlier, is the biggest disruption to global financial markets ever seen. This tech was originally used in the most talk about currency, Bitcoin. But now the wider tech space is finding other potential users for the technology, including banking services to countries that never had any, helping underdeveloped countries with liquidity and money transfers, contracts and agreements, cloud data storage, logistics, plus many, many others. So the next question that I get all the time is that it's too risky. And look, the short answer here is, it is. However, you should be putting in only what you can afford to lose. And with all highly speculative plays, if you can't handle a 60% drop in your portfolio, in my opinion, you can't handle a 600% end of year gain either. But when people talk about risk, I like to remind them about the government's banking guarantees. A number of OECD countries insure banking deposits held in major financial institutions to around the sum of about $250,000. However, as we know with Greece, that if there's a run on money, the government just closes the banks to ensure you can't get access. And when they're forced to reopen, because there's going to be like hell in the streets, they limit withdrawals of your own cash, in Greece's part, to 60 euro per day of your own freaking money. This isn't made up. This actually happened. And if you look at the reports in major financial papers just last week, Spain could be next. The analogy I like to use most here, though, is the car manufacturing industry. The vast majority of defunct automobile manufacturers were present in the early 1900s and were out of business just years later. The overall trend being a move from many suppliers of a new technology to just a few standing survivors today. The question I come back to is, can you afford not to play, just in case? Okay, so now we know what it is, and we know about the risks, but how do we learn more? And like any investment that you do, either highly speculative gambling or a sound investment play, I recommend doing lots of research. I recommend the following sites for researching the space: CoinMarketCap.com, Reddit, CoinDesk, Coinsy News, TradingView, and of course, there's a number of guys online to help you in this space via either communities, forums, Telegram, etc. But even if you're putting money on something like the Melbourne Cup or betting on a listed company, you're going to base your decision on a number of investment principles. It may be a recommendation, it may be a track record, it may be a level of investment you're willing to make, and the list goes on and on. It may be some of these things, maybe all of these things, or maybe none. It's totally your call. For me, though, I follow these rules when playing. It must be projects I agree with. So I read the white paper and look at the deck and make sure it's, and look at who the founders are. And I go, okay, this is exactly something that I want to be a part of. I must not hold more than 35% in any position. I must hold positions across the major coins, the major top 10 coins. And I use indicators like the relative strength index, the MACD, and the histogram to support the investments that I think have value at the target price that I think is a good buy. So that's just what I do. So if you've followed along on the podcast and you're like, okay, he's told me, you know, like there are some risks. He's told me, you know, what the risks are. He's told me about investment principles and you still want to get in. There's a number of exchanges to get you started, and I've listed just a couple that I've, you know, had some exposure to. In Australia, it's BTC Markets, CoinJar, Independent Reserve, and CoinSpot. In America, it's Coinbase, Robinhood, GDAX, Gemini, and Circle. In Asia, it's Bitfinex, KuCoin, Corbit, CoinHako, and Binance. And it's all up to you of your level of risk and having a really good understanding of the space. The biggest tip I can do here to anyone getting involved is don't keep coins on exchanges. Exchanges have a lot of money sitting on them right now, and they're prone to hacking like anything else on the internet. Definitely keep yourself with your coins locally, either on your computer or offline is the biggest tip there. Now for something, it's like a takeaway of every episode, and it's going to be called the bigger picture. We now understand that the blockchain of data can be in anyone's home, anyone's business, and garages all around the world. And there's really no way to know who's displaying the information on the internet unless we stop the internet, and we all know that's not going to happen anytime soon. But how are governments going to react to losing control of money? Now we know some are trying to ban it. Some are trying to call it a scam or a Ponzi scheme. Some are trying to tax it. And some are just trying to regulate it entirely. Now, it's my view that the smarter ones, including the US, China, Japan, Canada, Russia, Venezuela, Estonia, Sweden, and Uruguay, are either actively working on some form of digital currency or exploring the topic. The difference between a Tinder one-night stand and a marriage is that countries that embrace innovation will succeed longer term, and those that don't may regret it later. It's funny that some of the more poorer countries are the ones at the forefront of this space and will encourage a new breed of entrepreneurial and business investment for years to come. At the time of recording this podcast, the total market cap for cryptocurrencies was over $460 billion and rising. So it's no wonder some are opportunistic in this space. I truly believe that this is the future, like the internet was to the last generation, and that cryptocurrencies aren't a bubble, but an S-curve that's just getting started. Thanks again for listening. If you liked or loathed it, please let me know by writing a review, and hit me up on Twitter, at Keegan Saad. Till next time, thanks so much for your time, and have a good day. You've probably heard this song before. It's arguably the best hold music on the internet to date. It's a song by Macroform called Simplicity. We loved it so much we wanted to include it on the podcast, and we purchased it from iTunes, and you can do the same. Hope you enjoy.